Yo, introduce yourself, Shakur.
Yeah. Welcome to the Conversations with Good Brothers Talk Show, everybody. My name is Sean Francis Coleman, and this is Darnell Ramsey. Welcome back. Everyone, hope everyone had a wonderful week.
Yeah, man. My week was incredible, man. I'm excited to be here at Bats.
Yes.
Barbershop.
Yes. Today, we as we had stated over the last week or so, that we'll be broadcasting live out in the community. We in Pittsburgh, PA, at Bats Barbershop, my hangout spot. Incredible barbershop located on Penn Avenue in the heart of the city. New renovation going on, but I'm bring on Kevin Andrews, whose barbershop it is, but we know him as Bats. And I just ask him a little few questions before we get started on the show. Again, I've been coming here for a while. I just moved back to Pittsburgh over the last 8 years, but tell me a little bit about how long you've been a business here, Bats.
We've been here for 12 years.
12 years?
East Liberty, 5911 Penn Avenue.
Okay. Where was you at before you came here?
I was running Aikens Quality Cuts in Oakland.
Okay, Oakland, that's Pittsburgh, everyone. One of the things that I was telling my co-host Sean about, one thing I respect about this barbershop is the environment that you have created, the positivity and just the whole world of this barbershop. And this is one of the things that really gave me the concept to come up with Conversations with Good Brothers. Over my many years that I've came through the barbershop, you know, I've had some great conversations with a lot of gentlemen sitting here. So I wanted to bring this show to the Bat Barbershop, and I think we have a great discussion planned for today. And to start out, first and foremost, if everybody would just go around the barbershop and introduce themselves, tell a little bit about yourself. Start over here.
I'm Rock. I've been here cutting hair for 12 years, and it's a good thing, man. A lot of good people, a lot of good energy in here. I'm DB. This is my hangout spot, too.
Okay.
Been going here for what?
15,
how long
have
you been
on here? 12. 12
years.
Yeah, same old. I'm Brown. I've been coming here, you might have told about Rock, since he started coming down here myself. It's a good hangout spot. Good fellas, good conversations, everything, and we continue going.
Once again, I'm Beth. I'm the owner, proprietor.
Big dog.
Little dog. You know what I mean?
And I'm Ty. Been working here for 12 years and worked with Bat for, I don't know, since 1990. I like this spot.
Yeah. My name is Akbar. I just be hanging out every day. This is my spot right here. And every day, 2-3 hours before I go to work. You know,
conversation and stuff,
you know, family in here, man. You know what, man? Brother, I didn't know you used to own Anchors, man. I think that
I own it.
Okay.
I ran it.
You ran it? Okay. I think y'all met me on my dad's stand. I used to get my haircut all the time, I know, when I was a kid. Younger than him.
Yeah.
Y'all was everybody right across from the CVS?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Small
man, room. You like
him? No, it's he's dark skin, like 6'5". But yeah. So thank everybody for tuning in again this week. You know, we are very excited to come down here and talk to other good brothers. It's not necessarily a structured conversation this week, but I think we wanted to talk about the lack of trust between black men.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
And you know, I know we mostly hold our show mostly between you and I, but we're going to talk about the lack of trust,
right?
Issues that we have amongst black men as well as the community. Why not take it to the community, one, as well as bringing some everyday brothers from the community into this conversation.
Right.
I know, I think we might have had this a couple years ago in this barbershop, had a very good conversation about trust, and that's what had me been on this kick for like last year or so. Like, as we always say, I got love.
Right.
For my brother.
Right.
But do you have trust?
Do you have trust for
your brother? So at this point in my life, it's about, man, you can keep your love. I want a brother's trust, because that's the way we can take back our community.
Exactly.
Just backstabs and trust into one another. So with that said, good brothers, you know, I know we talked about it a little before we went on the show, and I think Rail had
made
a point about the trust and the issues that black men have with one another. So, again, this is just not necessarily free for all, but We just want to make like the mic is not here. We just have a conversation based on a topic that we talked about. So I think I was setting up the camera when you made the point. I came in at the end of the point you was making. I know you and Sean might talk about like the trust issue or an issue you had with the trust with a brother.
It's kind of like we as a black people, we make ourselves not want to trust each other. Like, I'll trust a white person before I trust a brother. And it's hard for me to say that because, you know, we as a black people, we should look out for one another. But we don't. We always will kick somebody when they're down, kick somebody doing good. We want to frown down on that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I came into a couple counters where, you know, for me, sales, of course, you know, but people just from different neighborhoods, you might not even know. Like, I'm a cool dude. I get along with any and everybody, my family, man, family, Jordan, you know what I mean? You can't have nice things. I don't even do nice things for myself because, you know, I'm afraid, you know, that somebody's going, you know what I'm saying? Just going to want to
take you out.
There you go.
And the one thing, I mean, we were just talking last week, you know, two things, elaborate a little bit, you're talking about, you know, unfortunately, we damn near at the point to where we're going to trust a white brother versus a black brother. But I know last week we was out in the barbershop. We was having a good conversation. The brother walked right past. You understand?
Right.
And, you know, I came back and told Rock about that, you know, how we won't even acknowledge that. Me and Brother Ron talk a lot of times about that situation where we don't even have respect for one another. And how, you know, when did it get to that point? I'm a big fan of history. You understand? When I always say the last time we had trust in the community is the civil rights movement. You understand? So over the last 40, 50 plus years, what do you think happened that allowed the trust for us not to trust one another? We don't trust the churches. We already talking about what the preacher's doing with the money. We don't trust black business because we say, man, black people don't do good business. Like, when did this trust start to come about? This mistrust amongst each other start to come about? What do y'all think of?
You know, I think it might be the wrong word, trust.
Okay.
I think it's more or less being vulnerable.
Explain that.
Right?
Okay.
Being vulnerable to, like you said, with each other. You know, you leave yourself vulnerable when you got to do that. You know what I mean? And we got a problem with that.
Okay.
Black man, we just, you know, because I got to leave myself vulnerable for you to come in my house and see my stuff, or just as a man talking to trust you with some stuff, whether it's with my wife, my woman, you know, and all those type of things. So I look at it as before I can even get to the trust part, we ain't used to leaving ourselves vulnerable to people. So we ain't really, really trying to do that. And I think a lot of it got to do with how we're raised, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what our expectations of what a man is. You know, we got that like, kind of twisted. And you grow up like that. That's why you don't cry. That's why you don't do all that stuff. And that's why these kids out here right now, you know, a man to walk away, that ain't a man. I wasn't raised that. I was raised that if somebody do something to your sister or your brother, right, you go out and do whatever you got to do. If you got to kill that nigga, kill him, right? But now, nobody told me. Now I'm going to have two problems. I got a dead brother and a sister. Now my mother's going to worry about me. See, a man going to go home at the end of the day to his family.
Right.
And we got this thing so twisted.
And that's a real man.
That's a real man. And I think we got the whole thing so twisted where we don't trust. He ain't going to be vulnerable about around people and all of that, man. So I think it's a matter of changing what that is.
You know, Brother Sean, I know that we talk about that vulnerability. I see your head spinning.
I was going to listen. No, you know, we do so much talking every week that I was just looking forward to listening more to the other the brothers. But, I mean, Brother Ron brought up something so important, that vulnerability, because we don't even, like you said, we don't even coach and teach kids to how to deal with rejection. You know what I mean? That vulnerability. Even in boxing, you know, when I box, they always say, don't leave yourself open. You'll be vulnerable. So unconsciously, like, we are taught to never want to be vulnerable because it can not be. I mean, that's an excellent point. Yeah, protect yourself at all times.
Yeah.
It's crazy that y'all say this. Me and my wife was having a discussion one time, and she kept telling me, you know, it's hard for her to let herself be vulnerable to me. We've been married for 12 years. She still
struggling with this a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I can see where, you know, as a in the black community, just in general, our upbringing kind of sets us up for this. And I see it myself with my daughters because I feel like I'm their protector,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I have to teach them to protect themselves, but at the same time, I'm teaching them not to be vulnerable, which could actually hinder
their progress.
Store something over there.
Yeah,
those
are big ones.
Man with pride to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You always go back to pride. If you grow up, seeing a man, a real man. I mean, we growing up, you know what I mean? Your dad, my dad, somebody said something to us, he don't handle it.
Right.
Now, that's all pride. You never see my dad. I never see my dad backed out from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it was. Yeah. And growing up like that, and you know that, so you try, you know, every man is going to try to emulate their father or the man in their life. And so everybody don't have a father, but everybody got a man. Hopefully they have a man to look up to.
Mm,
and that brings, it brings a lot of, you know, anger sometimes. Because sometimes you be hurt, and you want to be vulnerable, but you're going to be vulnerable for too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not all that's going to do is bring out anger.
I mean, you say, you looked up to your father, like we do look up to our father when we was kids. But it's kind of different now. Do that make you more of a man? Because if you know, if I go and put my hands on this cat, I know he's going to come back shooting. I got kids to go home. You know, like how when
now it's different.
Scrabble, then they go home, they go to separate ways, wake up the next day, they trade beer with each other. You know? Now I got to worry about, okay, if this dude put his hands on my daughter, I go put my hands on him, he's going to try to kill me.
It's retaliation, it's back and forth. It's just coming.
Right. So do I take him out?
It's a game changer now. Because these kids don't play by no rules.
Right.
They ain't being brought up without no rules.
Right.
So all kids need to have structure
and
rules.
Yeah.
That's the only way they're gonna grow. And you know what I mean? Or if not, they'll be wild.
Right.
What happened when they start taking the paddles out of schools? Schools start going crazy. They said we couldn't beat our kids. What?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going crazy. Now we can't even discipline our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're gonna do what they wanna do
mm-hmm.
because they don't call the law on us.
Yeah.
Okay. So it took the parenting out of the home.
Yeah, they did.
Now the kids going around. Now the kids raising themselves. They don't have nothing to look up to. No consequences. Now that's why you won't see the police brutality because your kids out on the street at 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
14 years old. What y'all on the street for?
Right.
When we was kids, 14 year old street light come on. We out. We at the house.
You
know what I mean? Oh, now we know what's gonna happen if we don't.
I think some of y'all, you know, I'm curious here, time quiet over. But you know, I'm coming back to what brother Taz said. Bat said. Like, you know, all of us emulate the men we see.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Now you hear it is, you know, fast forward, you know, they say 50 years ago we had 75% of the men that was in it all. So we've seen the men. Hence, you know, 2015, I think for the African American community, it's less than 20%, 25%. So the brothers we see are the guys on TV or the guys on the street. So that gives us. And we know those brothers ain't going to show their vulnerability. You understand? So this is why we got so much testosterone in our communities now, and nobody's willing to show their vulnerability because you've never seen a man, you know, men ain't supposed to cry. Men ain't supposed to be vulnerable.
Yeah, but that's not true.
Like,
I mean,
that's a stereotype, though.
Some of us are vulnerable, but there's just not enough of us.
Right, right.
You said Reaganomics came in play. CYF can't touch the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Plus the crack epidemic, we lost a couple generations of
mm-hmm.
parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And that parenting ain't there no more.
Great point.
And it's just only a few of us that's going to stand up, and it's not enough of us.
That's even like for now, just in general. Like, this weekend, I do something with my mom and my stepmother and my pops every Sunday. And I take my kids with me so my kids can see it. So, for instance, this weekend, we painted the kitchen while my dad just relaxed, did his downstairs, and I wanted my kids to see this. Because a lot of kids don't get to see, or a lot of people in the community don't get to see them. Once you start getting a little older, it's not what they do for you, it's what you do to give back. You know, my son, who's 17 years old right now, can't give me anything back right now. And I know why.
because I didn't take the time as a parent to actually teach my son. Now I'm trying to teach him.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of getting it a little bit, but still in the same sense. My younger two, who I've seen where my 17 was my experiment.
Mm.
My other two, I know what I did wrong. So these two have a better chance. And that sounds wrong, but at the same time, I didn't know. I was a young father.
Right.
All I knew was my dad was a provider.
Yeah, right.
He was a provider and a disciplinary.
Yeah.
But one thing my dad showed me was his soft side sometimes. My dad would come in the house sometimes just give me a kiss on the forehead. But you know what I'm saying? So for my son, when I went to go give my son a kiss on the forehead, it's just like, Dad, what is he doing? Because he's not used to.
Right.
That's what sets up that sense of vulnerability.
Right.
It's because we're not teaching them at a young age that,
right,
hey, this is acceptable. This is okay.
Right.
This is my way of showing you. This is your way of giving back, too.
But we also got stuff fighting against us because there's nothing on TV. There's nothing in the music. There's nothing out here showing us good examples of that.
Yes,
like, if you didn't come up and have that, then you don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, but we play into that, though, right?
We play into it because we see.
No, we ain't got to listen to Lil Wayne and them, do we?
I mean
we don't have to. In general, we don't have to listen to that type of music. For instance, you don't have to let your son or your daughter listen to that. You could teach them the way they need to, though.
True, but when they're not in our supervision, they're going to hear a radio.
No.
They're going to be
in
the ball.
If they know your values and what you put into them, they're going to follow exactly what you need them to follow.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, but
not
all the time. I'm not saying that in every situation they're
right.
going to do it.
They're going to have to try to operate
it like,
yeah,
in order
yeah,
to
yeah.
see what
yeah,
to contrast
yeah.
it against what you're saying. So they're going to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Give them the tools to do what they need
right.
to do.
But they
don't
try
how to let.
They don't try the opposite just to try.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I told my son don't drink.
But he's going to do it.
He tried it.
But I think that's a lot of trouble with the black community as well, too, is that we as parents, we expect we're not letting them actually live their life as well.
I think that there's actually a balance between what both of you are saying. I love having that conversation because, you know, I think when you do instill, like I had a strong dad growing up, a strong 6'5", you know, alpha male, everybody looking up to my dad. You know what I'm saying? So when I was trying stuff, I was going against my home values.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when I became a young man, I'm like, damn, I'm getting arrested. I'm doing all this stuff. You know, my dad would always say, I would hear him like, you know what? We don't do that in this house. So I had no choice but to come back to what I was
brought up.
That's what you know. What I was brought up in. Even, but I was trying all that stuff. But that really wasn't, you know what I'm saying, the true me. So I think that's an excellent conversation.
But that's what made you realize, you know, that there is truth in this.
Right, right, it's right.
Showing this
the experience.
Course,
right.
The core of
right.
Ain't no rule book when it comes to parenting.
Yeah.
I mean, you just try or error. You know what I mean? So ain't nothing you did wrong on DB.
I'm not doing anything wrong. I know a lot of what I was trying to do was kind of what my boss was doing with me, telling me what I needed to do, telling me what I needed to go.
Oh, yeah.
Now what I'm doing is I'm just giving my sons the tool. I'm giving my kids the tools now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
This is what daddy don't think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you do with your life is what you
right.
do with your life.
Right.
And I just want you to know core values of what needs to go on here.
But what, I'm sorry. No, but what I love about what you actually model on right now is vulnerability, because sometimes our pride and our ability to say that I did something wrong. So I commend you for saying that, because that's what I tell Sean. My whole plight with black man or man, period, is to show my vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because somebody always thinks, oh, you got it together. But when you show you ain't got it together and you're vulnerable, now you're making an ice, you're breaking ice or having a, you creating an icebreaker for men to start to open up and say, you know what? You got some issues? Are you vulnerable? You understand? You know, you putting that ego going. I know me and Brother Rob talk about a lot, like, we share vulnerability, but is that a maturation process to get to that point? Because our life, Kev, we come up through the hill, you got to have this bravado. You understand? But once you get, you got this image. But and not to mention, you fellas, we got to look at, you know, we got to be honest with ourselves. You know, Ty, we talked about this, man. 2015 and 1985 is two different years, man. So, I mean, we ain't get promoted even in our hip-hop. We grew up, we shown, like, Slick Rick, EPMD, whoever, they showing their vulnerability versus nowadays, R&B singers ain't even vulnerable now.
It's like a genesis where this stuff kind of started, right? And it ain't never too late, like, to begin, like, now, right? One thing is for sure,
your kids, you got to give up something.
You know, you cannot give up on the building.
Like some stuff that you're struggling with right now as a man, they'll get that because we come at them sometimes like we ain't got no problem. You might be vulnerable
right
in front of your children sometimes.
That's a scary
so
feeling.
It is because
yeah,
you're false.
Yeah.
Because we come at them sometimes like we ain't got them.
Well, they think we're strong.
Right. But
well,
see, the thing is, if you, we responsible for planting that seed. See, we want to tell them to sit there and watch it grow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we don't get a chance to see it because we plant the seed, somebody else waters it, and then God gives it the increase later on in your life.
Right.
I mean, this stuff my mother and them told me. I'm just getting a chance now
to understand.
I mean, bring them up the way they go. They hear you.
Mm-hmm.
They hear you. You know, it might take somebody else. I feel like some coaches, like with my son Terry was good at, I love Omar, but Terry just had a way with him with different stuff. You know what I mean? So we ain't going to, you tell them, we might not never see it grow yourself because I want to tell you and then I want to sit and I'm going to watch and see you listening.
Right.
If I don't see it, I'm going to stay on you.
Yes.
I won't even give it a chance to grow or to do nothing. I just throw it in the ground. I want you to do it.
That's what kills off their vulnerability.
Absolutely.
I got a question for that, though, you know, and I don't want to challenge it, but I do want to, like, put it on the table in the sense that why would it be fearful, you know, for us, at least us, to think about vulnerability as a parent? I'm about to have my first chat with my wife, and I wanted to say something, DB, after your story about your dad. You know, I remember me and my dad was watching TV, and he came to see a 6'5" man, like, that's Superman. So him to say, I'm like, Dad, what you did in that situation? And my dad said to me, like, I would have been scared. And I'm like, wow. Like, now I'm like, man, you would have been scared. So for me to open up my world to see, like, you know what? Maybe everybody's not invincible. And I think that we need to stop looking at it as a fearful thing. Like, we need to coach kids and teach kids how to deal with vulnerability, like you're saying, and almost accept the opportunity to deal with that.
It's a certain talk
about
it's good.
Yeah, talk about it. It's like
fear is good. Right?
Yeah,
so fear
yeah.
You old to have.
Mm-hmm. Healthy fear.
You old to have.
Yeah.
That's King Kong stuff that you did.
And fear causes us to think critically sometimes, too, because you're saying some of the stuff that's going on with some of our kids in our community, like, you ain't got no fear. So that's allowing you to do.
Right.
You ain't even think about that, bro.
Right.
But, you know, when we don't talk about fear, we don't talk about it, because these are negative words. Man ain't supposed to be fair,
right?
Man ain't supposed to be vulnerable.
Right.
To your point, like God says, we had our strongest when we vulnerable. You understand? Because that, now we ain't got it all together when you're vulnerable.
Right.
But unfortunately, we don't market that to our kids or role model that to our kids. So therefore, we have the epidemic we have right now. Real quick, I know we're supposed to be going to commercial break because I know we want to continue on to another part of this conversation. But we're going to come back after word from our sponsor with Conversations and Good Brothers. I'm excited because
very
the conversation got good for a minute, but I know we got to pay our bills. We'll come back after the commercial break with more conversation with Good Brothers. Well, actually, some good brothers in the community. See you soon.
If you're looking for award-winning Chicago-style pizza in Atlanta, make your way over to Chicago Nancy's Pizza in Buckhead. Chicago Nancy's Pizza serves up traditional crust, thin crust, our classic deep dish, along with the best wings in town. Enjoy them indoors while listening to live music on Friday nights, our karaoke on Saturday nights, or relaxing on the patio. Chicago Nancy's Pizza can also cater your next event. So stop by for your next slice of Chicago Nancy's Pizza at 3167 Peachtree Road, Northeast in Buckhead. Or for more information, call 404-842-9997. Visit us online at nancysbuckhead.com.
EX3 Radio is looking for new radio show hosts and new radio show formats. If you're interested in hosting or co-hosting your own show and looking for a great platform to share your personality and perspectives, the EX3 Radio Network is the place to be. When you become a part of us, you become family. Email us today at expectedendentertainment@gmail.com for more details. That's expectedendentertainment@gmail.com. Or visit EX3 Radio on Facebook. Excellence speaks for itself. Experience it. EX3 Radio.
I said, my kids are teaching me.
Right.
You know, my daughter came to me and said,
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Conversations with Good Brothers Talk Show. If you just tuning in, you know, you missed one heck of an introduction to the first part of the conversation. I wanted to ask you, actually, you know, based off what we were talking about, you know, where you wanted to go as far as the rest of the conversation,
I'm just going with the flow. Man, we still talking about that vulnerability piece. That's something that, you know, I feel very strongly about that, but it's good to have 7 to 8 brothers to elaborate
talk about
on
that,
especially from different perspectives, because all of us come from walks of life. You have some brothers who had fathers, some brothers who didn't have fathers. You got some brothers who are fathers, and some brothers who are about to be fathers. So it's good to have a perspective, and that's one of the things that I was excited about, giving our viewers or our listeners a perspective from different brothers.
Right.
We had another brother just walked in real quick. You can introduce yourself, tell us your name and tell us a little about yourself. Welcome to Conversations with Good Brothers, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm Rudy Struthers. I'm here to really just join into the conversation. I'm a local author, and I'm currently writing a book about police brutality and corruption, so I definitely wanted to come in and bring that into the conversation, and I'm just happy to be here. Glad to join into the conversation.
Welcome, good brother. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I know Sean, you made a comment right before we went to commercial break, or put a point out there, and I had to make sure we went to commercial break and just start back there, or just bring the point back up so I can refresh my memory.
What was common in reference to?
About love and vulnerability. I think you had asked.
I think it was Brother Ron and the DB. They were talking about it, and I was really loving it, you know, because I really am somebody, you know, I've had a stuttering problem for my whole life. So my thing growing up was that I can't talk to people until you stop messing with me, so I can put my hands on you. But now, you know, I'm 29. Like, I feel just as comfortable if you're in a situation with my words as I do with my fists. You know what I mean? But I don't think that we encourage that. So whenever y'all was talking about, you know, teaching kids about vulnerability, I just thought that was like, wow, you got 8 brothers talking about that right now. And why do we avoid that? That's what I was saying. Why do we avoid that?
And I'll throw out there, I just think that based on this fake machismo, bravado environment that is created amongst, African-American men, that's why we avoid it. Because, I don't want you to think I'm soft. You know what I mean? So I can't show you I'm vulnerable because you might try me. And unfortunately, I think, the brother was talking about how when you do show somebody that vulnerability, it might, you know, try you. You understand? When you're a good brother, when you're a nice brother, you ain't known how to be a thug, then you're soft. So you might have to sometimes fend for that, you know, fend off showing your vulnerability. But as older men, that's for the young brothers who are listening, but as older men, we okay with this vulnerability because we know what you young brothers been dealing with. You understand? So I need to let you know that I'm vulnerable. So it's okay to be vulnerable. So, you know, everything is, there's a maturation process to get to being comfortable with being vulnerable. I don't expect a 16-year-old brother to understand being vulnerable.
That's a
good
way, but
you can do it.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
The older generation, they really don't talk to the younger generation about being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Either they ain't got the time or they're scared.
They feel vulnerable.
Am I getting myself into dealing with this young dude? I know he probably packed it. Or, you know, he ain't going to really hear me. So that gap has to be bridged. And that's where the trust will come from.
So you need to have courage.
Courage. But what example do we have of that amongst ourselves? Besides, you know, the ones that they give us.
See, I think that's where we kind of mess up. We always look for an example. Why not create the
example? Exactly. There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely.
When I look at my kids, like my son, he's getting ready to go to the Army. You know, and it's just like, I try to create certain things for him now. I know there's certain things he's going to have to deal with when he leaves my home and has to stay with the Army and do certain things. So his responsibility level has changed with me. But at the same time, I want him to understand that it's okay to sometimes just sit back and look at things. You don't necessarily have to be hard all the time.
Right, you cry.
It's okay to cry.
Right.
You don't have to do it in front of a person.
Right.
But it's okay for you to go in the bathroom and cry if that's what you need to do.
Right.
You got to let that out. You can't be hard all the time, man. You're going to want to fight something. You want to be aggressive all the time.
Right.
You got to let that aggression out.
See, that's why fathers do play a big part in their child's life because, like you were saying, the older cats out here, they're looking like, that's not my kid. That's not my problem. You know what I'm saying? That's why a father plays an important
partner, child's life.
Uncle?
Like,
yeah.
My mother was a single parent of six, so my pop left my house when I was 6 years old. You know what I'm saying? So I watched my mom struggle, go to school and work full time. This time we had to eat the house, you know. So I look at that situation. That makes me stronger for my kid. A lot of kids didn't grow up with that. TV raised them. A drug dealer raised them.
Still.
Still. You know what I'm saying? So,
but you said that's you seeing your mom in a vulnerable
worship. Right. So
that's strength she had from that.
Right.
See, but that can create a negative effect, too.
You know?
It can, because when you got a little girl.
Just right.
Like I got a little girl. So when I see my mom struggle, I don't want my little girl struggle.
Right.
So I feel like I got to treat her like I treat my son. I got to make her understand that you got to do it for yourself.
Right.
You can't rely, and that's a bad way to think. When she needs a mate, when she needs somebody to help her through this process in life.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought process is when I'm gone, I need to know she's okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you're suppressing her vulnerability as well, too.
Kind of in a way. Okay. It's true because it's
You're right.
Just some of the ways that we live. Some of the ways I watch myself live as a young age. I don't want my daughters or my son to go through anything I went through.
No doubt.
And that's the crazy part. And I'm just learning that now. I've been reading a lot of things about parenting, and that's one thing we do is we don't allow our kids to step in the same footsteps as we step in to get to where we're at.
Right.
You know, if it was good enough for me to go through.
Right. You know what? I don't mean to cut you off, but in therapy, like when I'm talking to parents, I don't know how many. Like I kind of blame. There's people here in this age group. I'm not saying you, because y'all seem like some great brothers. But I kind of blame. You know, I'm looking at parents right now, like in the late 40s, early 50s, somewhere in there. You know, and they always tell me, like, you know, well, you know, I'm just trying to give them everything that I didn't have. And I'm like, but you ain't have it. And you have morals, character, and now you created this little beast. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my kids.
Put yourself down.
Yeah, right.
What's going on now is training kids how to be lazy.
Exactly.
That's what we did. Exactly. See, what we did have, when we did get something, we earned it.
Exactly.
Kids now got entitlement issues.
Exactly.
They're entitled.
They're entitled to
them. Oh, no, I'm going to listen to you because you got to buy me this.
Right.
You don't buy me this, I ain't going to do this.
Right. Or drug shop.
valuable what a parent.
We lost a couple of generations of parents.
Which is true. I was reading some statistics the other day about fathers' children, especially blacks, growing up, how susceptible they are to go to prison and end up pregnant or on drugs and things of that nature, that the numbers are excruciatingly high.
It's like females with daddy issues.
It was
that. Right. But the black men, too, were role models.
I'm on the same wavelength as you are.
Exactly. They're looking for role models.
I'm everybody. I'm every little child that you're not going to disrespect me. I'm going to come at you with, you know,
to raise a child.
People that don't think like that anymore. I don't want to put you on the spot, you know, but I like your quietness, you know what I'm saying? I know you were absorbing. But I heard you and Darnell having a conversation about your interaction with somebody outside. So to me, when I heard that, I'm like, okay, that took some courage. So it seemed like you somebody that has some courage to do things. So I wanted to know if you could speak on, is courage is part of your natural personality, or what would you tell somebody to somebody maybe in a situation like an adult who don't want to talk to the young kid? Like, how would that person get some courage to say something?
I'm like, you're the adult.
Very
simple. Black.
And I understand that, but I mean, that's me. But I'm the adult.
Yeah, we're all adults. We all have the answers. So at the end of the day, I'm gonna stand up and be a man for your child, his child, everybody's child out here. Mm-hmm. That's just how I grew up. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel.
Right.
You know, I feel like that.
Right.
There's a lot of men older than me scared of their children,
mm-hmm.
which is us. The children under us.
Mm-hmm.
For what reason? I don't even know. You know what I mean? But that's how I look at it. That's what's good about this barbershop. I could talk to a young man in a chair, one-on-one, mm-hmm. and give him some knowledge. And he'll ask me some questions, and I'll give him the best answer I can do. You know what I'm saying? As being a father.
And that's one good thing about the barbershop, too, is when, you know, they're like the buffet. When they come in.
Yeah.
And once we're through these doors, somebody's going to check that man. Gonna pull his pants up. One of these barbers gonna check that young man on the cover.
Yeah. Or adult.
Yeah, sometimes.
But I know I'm gonna throw this out here again. This is Bass Barbershop, so when Tad talk about, you know, a man, you know, when he talk about a man, that's the reason why on a serious tip, that's why I respect the barbershop so much, and that's the reason why I'm holding shoulders, because the environment and the aura that's created here. When Tad say because I'm a man,
right.
We can't assume that every brother out here is a man. You understand? So to your point, Bat and his employees have created an environment here that, you know, he has a certain type of man that he employs her. So, you know, this ain't tradition. I mean, this is what barbershops are supposed to be, along with the institution of the church. However, this is what's missing. You know, you got to have man, as Brother Sean said, Ty got the courage to have these brothers, but also you have to earn that too, though, Ty. You know, these brothers, you know, just because you're a man, we got somebody out in the hood who might say the same thing. Versus when Ty say something, he might listen to Ty, but it's that level of respect. But just sometimes these old school people, like, I'm the adult. You listen to me. You ain't heard about the wrong way. Yeah, you ain't heard that. So I know you have heard that because, you know, they have seen you out in the community, they've seen you here, but all of our listeners ain't from Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? So they might be like, Ty said, I'm the adult. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'll be going to get my birthday tonight. Nah. We just say the barbershop here, that barbershop and the environment here is so positive, man. And, you know, that's one of the things that you can do when you create that type of environment. But also what I like about, you know, going back to the point where one thing I love about some of the conversations that I had in this barbershop is us being vulnerable. You understand? Like, you know, and we think vulnerable is weak. You understand? Like, a barbershop is a place where I come, you know, me and Brother Rel talking about, I come sit in Rock's chair, and I'm vulnerable. Bro, I had a bad day, man. You understand? Like, hey, Rock, this was on my mind, so I'm vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And when I leave here, Rock got me rocked and built me up, set me back up, because you can be vulnerable,
right.
But you ain't got to stay there.
Right.
But if you think you ain't going to be vulnerable, bro, you went for a long, hard life, man, because you need to be vulnerable so somebody can build you
right.
back up.
Right.
You understand? But if you're never vulnerable, God can't work with you,
mm-hmm.
and your brethren and your community can't work with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you never vulnerable, I know me and Brother Ron talking about that we ain't comfortable with telling Brother what's on our mind. No, hey, Brother Ron, I'm hurting right now, bro. No, I mean, I need some good words for you. I know we had just built a friendship from this barbershop. I know last 2 weeks ago, last week, we'll sit out here an hour just building off of each other's vulnerability. on some real man to man older men who's dealing with older sons. But you know, as I'm coming back to, as men, we got to, for one, you know, we talk around with the word vulnerability, left trust a little bit. That vulnerability also allows us the opportunity to develop trust
mm-hmm.
for one another, even
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do we don't trust each other, we're not vulnerable. So it's steps to get to that trust. But first, you got to put yourself in a vulnerable position before you can trust a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some of us don't even want to go into that vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm.
They even allow themselves to start to build some trust. Because that's the only way I can have a trusted relationship with you.
That's true.
If I show you my vulnerability. If you see me hard and I got it all together, you're going to be like, yo, that brother think he all that, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tell Ty, you know, all the brothers that I had deep conversations with, but I had to be comfortable with myself to show you all that I'm vulnerable, man. So y'all can say, you know what, I'm gonna show this brother I'm vulnerable too. Now we're allowed to build.
I think that with trust too, man. Like I think there's different types of trust. Like, cause my position on trust is, you know, I don't think trust is an all encompassing. I trust this. I trust you with everything. No, I trust Rock. Well, I might trust Rock to take it's money up to the bank for me, but Rock, and I'm speaking hypothetically, but Rock might have some woman problems, so I can't have him around my sister. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Wrong, I can trust him with my sister, but he got some money issues, I can't trust him with my family. So
mm-hmm.
I think through the relationship, you know what I'm saying, you're able to assess what you can trust somebody with and what you can't trust somebody
right.
with.
And see, that's just using wisdom.
Yeah.
You gotta use wisdom with stuff. Ain't nobody talking about you just tell a mug everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? You gotta use wisdom with stuff, man, because it's like layers of stuff with us, man. We all come from somewhere, and when you want to talk about trust, I look at how I grew up. I got layers and layers of reasons not to trust somebody.
Exactly.
I grew up pumped in my head.
Exactly.
So my type of environment I was in, you couldn't do it.
So that was crazy. So how much do you think the trust in ourselves has to do with it?
I think it has a lot to do with how you think about yourself.
Absolutely.
Whether you can throw it out there and not worry about what somebody else going to think about you, you know, how you think is how you live. I mean, how a man think is how he is.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be. Right. So you got to say, well,
finding out
who I am. And being all right with that.
Hold on, bro. I think we got to take commercial break because we're about to get.
I know
we're about to
break
it home right now. Yeah, all right, but we're going to stop right there. I know we got to go to a commercial break, our last commercial break. As you said, the last 15 minutes, we're about to get into some meat and potatoes on this issue. So we'll be back after commercial break with conversations with good brothers. What a great conversation with quite a few more good brothers. So looking forward to hearing from coming back to you after the commercial break. Yes, sir.
If you are a recording artist and you're looking for the best quality, professionalism, and affordable pricing for your video shoot, you need to contact Bless Media Group today. Bless Media Group specializes in top-notch video production for entertainers such as rappers and singers. You need a sports recruiting video? You're getting married? Need an actor's reel? We've got you covered there, too. Bless Media Group, your one-stop video shop. For more information, please visit us online at www.blessmediagroup.com. That's www.blessmediagroup.com.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back again, everybody, to the Conversation with Good Brothers Talk Show. We just talking on the issue of vulnerability, but Brother Rock had actually asked Brother Ron a great question, so I wanted to know if you could just state it one more time and have Brother Ron respond how you did.
I can't remember exactly, but I think it was how much trust in ourselves do we have to do? I mean, does it have to do with being vulnerable?
Right.
And I'm saying that you have to know who you are. You know what I mean? You have to know who you are. You got to...
A little louder.
Yeah, you have to know who you are. I mean, who are you? You know what I mean? And you got to be all right with that. Because I only can use myself. I can't use nobody else's example.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew who I was. I made a person.
Literally.
Right. I literally built it.
Right.
I never liked it.
Speak on the way top
yeah,
of
I never, I never liked it. Nothing about it.
Mm.
So I could sit next to it, and the person never even knew where I was going when I was little. I didn't realize I was a little kid, and I would look at a guy's hand, and I was like, damn, my fingers are big. I don't know, I'm a kid. You're going to grow, right? So I never liked anything about myself. So I literally built the person. So now I don't even know who I am. I don't even know who I am. Period. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
once you find out, right, and it's revealed to you who you really, really are, you got to be all right. Now you're vulnerable, right?
Yeah, I was going to say you got to be vulnerable.
Right. You got to be all right with yourself. If you don't, think good about who you are and comfortable with it, you're going to always have a problem with being vulnerable, because it's like with me. I always did the tough stuff. Nobody ever, knew that I really didn't want, I care about people, B. I just do. You know what I mean? I do. You know what I mean? And I covered that up all my life. So I really ain't the person people really thought I was. I've been in a state in the penitentiary with dudes that just built a person. I mean, they literally just built, and the toughest dude was really the most scaredest person.
Hear him crying at night.
Period.
Yep. I hear him crying at night.
Period. You know what I'm saying? So,
everybody else,
I'm saying, you got to find out who you are first before you can even begin to say, well, once you find out, you know what, I really ain't that tough, dude. Yo, my man, you got that right now. I'm going home. I don't really want to fight you.
But first, you got to realize that something's wrong.
Yeah, you do. You got to do. You do. I mean, you do.
I keep going through the same thing.
But you can't do that on your own, in your own strength. I mean, you just can't. And we all on this little island trying to fix ourselves with stuff. When it can't happen. You can't do that on your own. It's just too much.
I think that you're talking about a bigger picture too, because you talk about creating your own person, and then saying, you know, I gotta trust that, you know, this is gonna be okay. When you hit that point, whenever you know this ain't really me, you gotta trust God that
absolutely
being vulnerable and being who I really am is gonna work out for me.
Look, I didn't come to this conclusion on my own. I ain't smart at all. I'm saying to you is that you, it's the purpose why you here. And we are, all our experiences, all of us in here got experience, and we products of what we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if you've not been in situations where stuff done happened that caused you not to trust somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell a mother that got a wife and she cheated on him with his boy that he could trust somebody ever again.
Right.
Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. That's like a woman. You can't tell a woman, you wounded, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect people to get over it and be all right and say, you know, you just going to trust me. You know what I mean? I'm all right. You know, you got to make somebody feel comfortable enough, you know, not to make them say stuff to you. People want to hear you say stuff, and they already know what you're talking
about. You're striking my chord,
<Absolutely.
laughs> you know what I'm saying? But also with your question, going back to your question, whenever you had asked about trusting ourselves, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that to both your points, I think that we have to also coach people, not just kids, but people, how to deal with, you know, people being disloyal. You know what I'm saying? Because my answer to you was, you know what, there's some things that I don't trust myself doing. You know what I mean? Like, if it's Saturday night, I always joke with D, if it's Saturday night, all my projects are done with my company, and you put a bottle of a piece of rock in front of me, I can't trust you, or I can't trust myself that I'm not going to open it up. You know what I mean? Because everything is done. You know what I mean? So I guess what I'm saying, like, you with yourself, you're not going to be loyal to yourself 100% of the time. So how can we expect somebody else to be 100% loyal? You know what I mean?
So do you think it takes like a community of us getting together, talking about that?
Okay,
because it can, that right there can actually build the loyalty within it.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I guess maybe I can you speak more on that so that I can
like, we might not learn how to trust ourselves. We might not know how to trust ourselves.
Okay.
But being around and seeing other people that are
yes.
vulnerable.
Of course, of course.
Okay, we can do
it. Okay, I'm calm. Of course.
I'm all right.
Of course. 110%.
Feed off of people.
And that's one of the things. That's why I want to start doing this more regularly, to start talking about that, because people don't say that, you know, we don't, society, you won't see this on TV. You won't hear this in the music. You won't hear this in the song, Eight Black Men Being Vulnerable. Where eight black men, you know, talk about one. You know what I mean? Like, you won't hear that. So, but the world, you know, we need some young bulls to be sitting here seeing this as well.
Yep.
This is the way the healing starts. Because,
right.
You know,
right.
We can't trust this. And that's all, we're looking at in our community, that's all is a lack of trust, of a lack of issues with self. And then that's how you say you're going to portray that out to, or convey that person out to society. You don't trust yourself, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You hate yourself. That's why you're so willing to kill that brother, because you don't even love yourself. You know what I mean? So that was just, so a lot of times what we feel inside is we project, you know, when somebody's confident inside with themselves and secure with themselves, majority of the time they're going to convey that out to, you know, outside society. So that's, but we got to talk about that, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's all good. Every time you leave school, it's all good. You got that going to lie, bro. Yeah, I mean, I can look at you and say that all good, but, you know.
We need to talk.
Yeah, we need to talk.
I got a solution.
I think that everybody, at one point in our lives, then we can't do this by ourselves and see ourselves, because I don't see myself the way other people see me.
Right.
So I'm saying, it's just important to have accountability person in your life.
Yep.
It might not be like that with everybody, but somebody that know what you're struggling with and can ask you, they got a right to ask you the hard question. Now, I'm telling you, in the beginning, it ain't easy, because you're going to find yourself not even telling them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you feel it's so bad, whatever it is, but you need accountability person in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really, really do. Because without that, you on your own island making your own decisions about stuff. You just try, it's this chick, I'm married, and you know what I mean? I'm having a hard time with this chick, and I ain't trying to do it again. Somebody needs to know that. Somebody needs to know that. So they can say, yo, you know, what's going on with that? But, that's vulnerable. You know what I mean? And get them right to ask them questions and then check on your behind.
I always talk about is that what's in you, it's going to come out. You know what I mean? You might not want it to come out the way it come out. But that, again, we don't understand the power of vulnerability. You understand? Like, you know, you got this issue that's killing you. You understand? If you say, you know, you go to the accountability part, like you said, and say, bro, this is what I'm feeling, man, you just release them. But if you've never given that platform, never given that opportunity to get that out of you, man, our community is dealing with it.
Bat said something very important earlier. He was talking about pride, right?
Mm.
And that's why pride comes before the fall. Because pride can look like vulnerability. It can look like trust. It just has so many different roots. It can go so many places.
Mm.
But everything centers out of pride.
Right. Yeah, but
a lot of men
can't carry your pride to this area. And you don't even know what's happening because you're calling it something else.
Yeah.
Just try it.
Yeah.
Not one man's a fool. I mean, it's pride, man. It gets me every time, and I call it something else.
I would like to say about that word pride, man. Like, pride, like, when you look at that word and you break it down, like, the first three letters you could spell R-I-P, and the last three letters you could spell D-I-E. And then I would like to say that, like, pride kills whoever it is within.
You can need something, and you really, really need it, and you won't even ask for it because you got to be vulnerable to ask for it because people think you're good,
right?
And you ain't got no money,
right?
You broke,
right?
So you're not asking, you're gonna fall.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Pride comes before the fall. You gotta. I can't be vulnerable to you because I'm prideful as hell.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't want you to think.
Mm.
You know, if I get you to thinking, you might start treating me differently.
I'm
crazy. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want you to start thinking I'm being second-guessed.
Brother Brown said something earlier. You know, you had said something about different. Now we're talking about nationalities and race. You had said that you were trusting times a white voter before. A black dude, right? And that caused me to think, like, you know what? Like, what Brother Ron's talking about right now, you need an accountability coach. We know we grew up in the community, and we jokesters. You know what I'm saying? We jokesters. So sometimes, like, it's like, dang, I want to go to DB and all my cats, but they joke so much, I don't know if I can take them serious. So how can you really trust that somebody is going to have your information whenever you see a bunch of jokesters?
You know somebody, you can be quiet. And you can feel them out if you grew up with them or you've been around them long enough. You can feel out who you can trust, who you can't trust, and who's going to
you can trust with your information.
Right.
Everybody can't trust with your information.
So true.
You know what I mean? Some people, you can pull them to the side and talk to them on a serious professional note. And some people, he's just my joking friend.
Right.
You know, God put people in your life for a reason, mm-hmm. and a season. Everybody in your life for your lifetime.
I got one specific guy I know I call when I'm going through something. He always tell me the truth. He always said, Rudy, that ain't right. What you did wasn't right. Like, oh, what's up?
Yeah, this dude right here.
That is
every time I got a problem.
It's not spiritually me, but I lost my job. Yeah. That is what happened. So he always give me good advice. You know, so you got to just find out one person who you can do that with.
That's why I always say,
you got to give up something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
To make somebody feel like, you know, you're giving me some stuff. You don't even know what they got to give me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they giving up something. So you want to automatically feel like, you know, it's been times with him like, all right, I ain't really want to tell you this. I'm going to tell you
anyway.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because you start feeling guilty, I'm going to tell you anyway because I know you're going to tell you.
And that accountability partner gives you that, you know, they make you feel vulnerable. You know what I mean? Like, man, that guy, you know, you itching like, ah, oh, you got me. Like, dude, I'm just saying what's up, man. I just don't know about it. But you know what I mean? But you're comfortable with them. You know what I mean? But last 30 seconds, Sean. You know, anything you want to say? And this,
take it and use it.
I want to thank Kevin Andrews, a.k.a. Bat, for allowing us to use this space.
Yeah,
I want to thank the whole panel of some incredible great brothers and the people who's on the phone, your listeners. Thank you as always for your support. But once again, you know, I dispute the fact that there ain't great brothers in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And this forum just allow you all to see that we talk about so many other issues in addition to the issues that good brothers always say that a lot of times we want to address the topics that they say brothers don't talk
right,
about. And
right.
Vulnerability is definitely one of those issues or one of those topics. So I want to thank you. Have a wonderful Tuesday evening. Have a wonderful work week.
Expand your perspective.
Give thanks.
Peace.